Anything said in this podcast is our opinion, and while our aim is to explore the weird and wonderful world of humans in a non-judgmental way, we apologise if we don't always achieve this perfectly. It goes without saying that this podcast is for entertainment purposes and should not be taken as medical fact or in lieu of professional advice. Enjoy the show.
Hello, I'm Emma.
And I'm Danny.
And welcome to our podcast, What's Not Wrong With Us?
Where we will share our interest in the human experience, from those who choose not to wear sunglasses when they're looking at an eclipse to those who would argue that Java cake is not only a cake, but also a biscuit.
Are there times when you feel out on your own, afraid that you're the only one? Something strange, something unique. Is it you?
Is it me?
Well, we're here to tell you what's not wrong with you. What's not wrong with us?
What? Who are those people?
They exist and I do not know them.
But hold on, we must not be judgmental.
We're not being judgmental. I'm just saying all conversation is available. You know, okay. It's not just a cake. It's not just a biscuit. It is both.
Okay, fair enough.
Because why does that appear in the supermarket, folks? That's all I'm saying.
Okay, okay. I didn't know we were going to get into it this early on. I like the little surprise of whatever you're going to do at the start now.
I take a little bit of joy in terms of compiling them throughout the day. What am I going to say to this week?
So I just wanted to start by inviting people to please like and subscribe and follow and download.
Oh, yes. Please.
And if you so feel, in fact, just do, rate and review, because that really helps things climb up the charts, particularly on Apple Podcasts. But you can rate on Spotify as well. But the main thing that you could do for us is share the podcast with a friend. Like, you know, share it on your Instagram story, tag us, or actually say to them, you know, you might like this podcast. It's daft, but it's entertaining. It'll pass the time while you clean your house or whatever.
I like to think of it as some sort of light relief. I've also tried and tested this in work while doing Excel spreadsheets and find it very, like, compass-mentous in terms of being able to do that.
Yeah. No, I can't work and listen to a podcast at the same time. In fact, I can't work and listen to music at the same time. I love podcasts for getting cleaning done, for walking, for all other activities. So we would recommend for any of those, please let us know where you are listening.
We're traveling salesmen and we'll be here all week.
So Danny, how are you? How's your week been?
Hectic, I think is a fair description of my week. I am in the midst of pre-wedding prep. Not my wedding, my sister's wedding.
Oh, God, yeah, of course, getting closer and closer.
Yes, end of the month. So all guns go for that. And, yeah, work is manic. And it's also the summer. So trying to, like, find a balance and having a life and doing nice things in the brief windows of nice weather that we have, which is proving more and more challenging as time goes on because Northern decides to rain a lot.
Yeah,
we had our summer there about 2 weeks ago when we had blistering sunshine for 3 weeks. And now, yeah, it's back to, well, it's beautiful today, but apparently it's going to rain tomorrow. So
No. It is not going to rain tomorrow because it is my mother-in-law's birthday and she's having it outside.
The weather forecast
says no rain, but it is windy is the problem. And
you having marquees and things?
There's gazebos and marquees and things that have been put up. And today there was one being about to be assembled, at which point the wind decided to try and take it away. They had to halt the assembly and literally put it away and be like, we will do this another time when the wind has died down. It's not ideal gazebo or marquee weather, really. So shall we move straight along then?
No, let's keep dwindling around on this for a while longer.
Let's talk about the weather for a little bit longer.
Friends who've known each other for years, chitter about the weather for 4 hours.
So I am bringing the topic for today.
You're offering?
I feel like this is the first time that I've done this.
It's definitely not.
I feel like I've kind of escaped being the main topic bringer.
I don't know how you've done that. I mean,
don't know how I have either.
Listeners will probably be able to tell us one way or the other about how we've got to in this, because we're now on episode 10, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
10 in a row. we have done now. Yeah. Incredibly so.
Well, actually, what I wanted to say about that, sorry, just to go back to our preamble a bit.
Back to the weather.
Is that, so this is our 10th episode, and we had originally planned to do this as a drunk Q&A episode.
Yes.
But then I can't really get drunk today because I'm
also
busy
cannot.
Tomorrow. And we just kind of arrangements that just didn't go that way, right? So we're going to do that for episode 12.
Yes.
So if you are listening to this, it'll be too late actually for them to send in questions, won't it?
It will, it will. But I mean, what I would say is we will continually do drunken Q&As as sort of milestone.
Yeah.
For that's a fly in her wine.
Fly in my wine.
Don't protein.
It's fine, you know. As I said, I'm just having one glass for the sake of it, really. Maybe not even one glass anymore. Okay,
as
go
the
on,
guts
sorry.
Spew into the wine. Yes, my point was just I think what would be good is to just have a little stockpile of questions that we can. So every episode, we're going to make a mental note. Every episode, we'll prompt people to send in questions if they have any. And then we'll wait
I feel
for
like maybe we should start this episode again.
No, I like this. I like this chaotic ramble.
It's been so chaotic.
Because future Emma will have a lovely time patchworking this all together.
Well, what I tend to do is just ignore all the mistakes. Just keep them all in.
But yes, anyway. Yes, we'll let the questions come in. I would also encourage either to the email address, which will be in the bio.
What's not wrong with us at gmail.com.
Thank you, Emma. Yes, what's not wrong
correct
with us?
Correct address.
And also, if you're not already following us on Instagram, I would encourage you to do that also.
Please.
And the Instagram is What's Not Wrong Pod on Instagram. What's Not Wrong Pod, all together, all small case. Thank you.
Okay, so this is what I want to talk to you about today, Danny. Right. Decision paralysis.
Oof, good subject.
Right. So this actually was prompted by something that we mentioned in one of our last couple of recordings, whatever. And I went, oh, that's given me an idea for what I'll bring next time. I also have a little list that I'm compiling.
As do I.
Of course we do. Of topics.
Yeah.
So decision paralysis is something that really interests me / irritates me. So I thought it would be a good one to bring up. And also because I want to kind of vary it between things that we experience ourselves and things that we don't experience ourselves to kind of prevent it being all like, this is what I do. I'm always like this, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I think also to stop us from being crippled by our oversharing.
Exactly. Like, which
is too much of my life and already so public.
Yeah. And I said to you, I said that to you at the start that we do have to be careful of oversharing because we will just be like, oh my God, I'm so sick of this. And people know too much stuff about me now. So I thought, oh, this will be great because I don't have any decision paralysis at all. I'm so quick to make decisions. I look at a menu, instantly I know what I'm going to have. I walk into a shop, 2 seconds I choose the item of clothing that I want. And while all that is true, I think on reflection about what decision paralysis means and kind of the breadth of what it's about, I think everybody gets a bit of decision paralysis. So like the classic thing is, you know, so many flavors of ice cream that you can't choose a single flavor, or so many things on the menu that you can't possibly decide what it is, or going through Netflix and never putting anything on because you're like, oh, I could watch that or that or that, or, you know, there's too many options for you to possibly choose something. But I think it's about probably more than that as well. Like, so before I say it's about more than that, what about those experiences of decision paralysis? What is your experience of that? Are you a quick decision maker, or do you him and how over decisions?
In classic Danny fashion, of course, you know, any kind of prompt like this, I'm immediately like, what's happening in the Danny world and how does it affect me directly and how do I relate this back to myself? So when you were speaking there, I was thinking, I would like to think that I am quite a decisive person, but only because I am a chronically impatient person. So I would rather make a wrong decision quickly than a right decision that takes time, because the waiting around makes me homicidal. Like, I just cannot abide the pandering and the pottering and the will we, won't we, and what's happening or anything else. Having said that, though, the more anxious I am, the more indecisive I am.
Mm.
And the two things are kind of like linked together. So I know there's been times where I've been, say, more anxious about money or more anxious about, you know, life or whatever else. And in those situations, all other ambient decisions become way more taxing and difficult.
Mm.
Now, don't get me wrong. I think there's times in your life, like when you're buying a house or a car or you're making a big life decision, of course you're indecisive. You're like, is this the right thing to be doing? Should I be doing this? You know, is there other options I should be looking into? Mm. But I think there's part of it where, you know, on the everyday things, like, there's just a, well, just do it. Just do it and see what happens. Because yeah. I know I'm also the one who loses my mind at people like, I don't know what I want. And mm. you just make the decision for me. But then I hate that because you make the decision and then afterwards, like, I didn't want that. You're like, my God.
Yeah.
You asked me to make the decision for you.
Yeah.
Now you rue what you make.
Well, so even with big decisions, I don't tend to struggle that much with them. Right, I sort of have a sense of what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, I don't labour over those big decisions. I've almost never found myself in a big, like a kind of like, oh, what should I do? Not that long ago, I had to choose between two job offers that I was made after I finished my PhD. So many people wanted to employ me. No, there was like two job offers. And I sort of weighing them up for a bit, but I was just like, letting it sit because
yeah.
I kind of thought, well, I'll let this sit for a bit. I don't have to make this decision like immediately. But I know I'll know the right thing to do and what's, you know, going to be the best thing mm-hmm. to do, and really didn't labor over it at all. But, but I get what you're saying, like big decisions, it is important to consider them. Like
yes.
you need to give it some thought for sure. It's funny that you said buying a house or buying a car, because I do remember you kind of like spending some time on those decisions of big, large amounts of money mm-hmm, going out, mm-hmm. which is very sensible, mature attitude
yes,
to have.
I agree.
Which is why I cannot in any way be smug about this, because I rush into decisions is what happens, right? So my lack of decision paralysis, first of all, it's not complete anyway.
Like this is a spectrum, perhaps?
It might be.
Yeah. I don't know what's called your podcast.
But, you know, what it does is it means that I rush decisions because of my impatience as
yes.
well. I rush decisions.
Well, no, I'm the same. I've definitely rushed things and then been like, oh, I might have fucked this up and shouldn't have done that. Maybe should have done something else instead.
Mm.
But, I mean, it's some of these things as well. Like they always say, you learn more from a failure than from a success. So sometimes you kind of just have to barge ahead and like fumble and kind of work out what you're doing, make all the wrong decisions to finally make the one right one at the end of that actually is the thing that's going to change your life in the better way or fix something or move you ahead.
I think one of the worst things that you can do sometimes is not make a decision. And I have too frequently used the phrase shit or get off the pot to people because
so graphic.
Well,
God.
I think it needs to be graphic to kind of say to people, look, you know, what is going to happen if you do nothing here?
Yes.
You need to literally, you know, shit or get off the pot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it, particularly with relationships, whenever people are laboring over a decision about a relationship, like whether to propose, for example, I kind of think like, you know, it really shouldn't be that hard to work out
mm-hmm.
whether to propose or not. And it's, I mean, almost always men who are kind of hesitating. Why? Like, I just don't know. Is that a bad sign? What is it? Or is it just an abundance of caution? So the thing about abundance of caution is that the times when I've been kind of annoyed with people for not making decisions, it's often been because they were paralyzed by a fear of making the wrong decision. And it was genuine, like it was.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like a fear, like, I'm terrified of making the wrong decision, but just that's what was motivating that stuckness.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, I really am scared of making the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. And I've made loads of wrong decisions.
Oh, same.
Loads and loads of wrong decisions. And then what I've done is I've made another wrong, you know, I've made a different decision after it. I've changed mm-hmm. my mind. I've made a different choice. And I think that that's the fundamental difference, is that if you realize this decision that I make is not going to alter the fabric of reality itself.
Yeah, even though it might feel like it is.
Well, I suppose it never does for me. I'm just like, yeah, do it, man.
And here is where we differ.
I'm sure where we differ from lots of people, you know, like, so I think that's the thing is that I don't think it's going to alter the fabric of reality. You can, you know, you can change things.
I think that point
as you go along.
Yeah, I think that point you said, though, as well, is very important, where there's a fear of making the wrong decision because of a fear of failure or fear of getting it wrong.
Mm.
And also, I think there's a part of this, the other group of people that come into this is the I told you so people. And I fucking hate I told you so people. It wrecks my happiness.
Yeah.
It's just this, like, people who actively won't do a thing just in case it's wrong or right or anywhere else in between so they can take some sort of moral high ground after. I told you that was a bad idea. Fucking go die in a hole. How about that? I just, fuck it, it wrecks me. Because it's like, why delight in someone trying to fumble their way through a problem that they obviously don't have an immediate answer to?
Yeah.
Why take some sort of like, I have got one better than you? Like, who are you?
I know.
Like the fucking scholar of right and wrong? Go away.
Yeah. I don't know why people, delight in, especially in other people's failures or mistakes.
Or struggle. Or just struggle. People struggle. Yeah. Like, and the thing is, I mean, you can have that as broad as anything, but I think that can really impact then, coming back around the circle, and people's ability to make decisions because the fear of running into that, the fear of, you know, I don't want to be the butt of the joke. I don't want to be a reason to someone point a finger at me and be like, look how you fucked that up.
Yeah, well, that is another decision. That's another fear that people have, which is fear of judgment. So it's not just fear of, well, if I decide to move country, it could be terrible. And most people will think, oh, we'll take a chance. Mm-hmm. But I think that what often stops people more than that is this sense that other people are going to judge them. What will other people think about that? You know, and then if it kind of comes from your childhood and your parents and how you've been brought up, that can often play into how, you know, easily you find it to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I think my parents were a bit like, you know, let her out in the dirt kind of thing. Let her make her own mistakes. And so
they just find a mucky puddle somewhere and put you in it and be like, this is her crib for the day.
You know, it seems like I'm joking, but it was quite literally that. Mm. Like, it was like, oh, she's making... I used to make mixtures, which was like, you know, what people might call mud pies or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'd just go out in the dirt and have a whole... They didn't know there was a whole restaurant fantasy that was going on, employees, various
Emma
dishes.
Had an empire that was growing underneath her.
Customers were coming there for their mud pies. At one point, because they got a new oil boiler, which had an output out the side of the garage, I was cooking leaves on that.
I didn't know if this was in your mud restaurant or in real life.
No.
I wasn't sure. We got a boiler in and then we got a sunroof.
It was in my mud restaurant. But anyway, so I think, you know, probably they let me make a lot of decisions and mistakes and whatever, and that set me up for being okay with making decisions and making decisions quickly. Maybe. Yes. I don't know. Who knows?
So I was going
to
say,
impossible to tell.
As you were saying that there, I was reminded of, again, how I think I am one thing and yet I am another. You were talking about like the indecisiveness of things, and I have now a flood of memories where usually when I'm in the house, to be fair, and I have to make a decision about something, and the decision is maybe nothing to do with the actual activity in the house that I'm doing, but it is such a heavy weight of a decision that I have to make and I'm stuck by it that it like prohibits my kind of like day-to-day activity. So I will... makes me sound so odd. I'll be like potting around the house and be putting the dishwasher on, and I'll be going to take something out of the fridge, and then my mind will hit like a kind of a wall of just, I can't take this out of the fridge because this innocuously somehow connects itself to the decision that I have to make, and I can't do this thing until I make this decision. So then I like bounce off that and then don't make myself lunch, and then have to go potter around and do something else, come back to the fridge, bounce off the decision again, and then go out and do. And this has happened recurrently till I get so frustrated that I have to like force march myself to the fridge and just take something out of the fridge and be done and move on with your life. And then I do move on with my life, because it's a ridiculous thing that my brain has just like mind mapped this out in this kind of closed circuit that doesn't mean anything.
Well, it's funny that you should say that, because whenever I said...
Segue!
It's almost as if we planned, because we literally don't. And I think you can tell by listening to this episode that we really don't...
I don't know, it sounds scripted, I think.
But when I was saying about, you know, I thought, oh, I have no decision paralysis whatsoever. But in looking into decision paralysis, just in terms of having an idea of just reading a few things on the internet about it before, you know, recording this podcast, I realized that I do a thing where I have decision paralysis, and it happens when I have too many things to do. So when I'm really, really busy and I have too many things to do, and I start to get really stressed, like say I was getting ready for an event. Sorry, that was Rosie's ears. Say I was getting ready for an event and, you know, time is starting to get short. So then I'll start to be like, you know, I don't know whether to do my hair, do my makeup, get changed, have a shower, do my, you know, I start to get like, well, I, and then I'm like, literally sometimes walking around in circles.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll be like, oh, but I have to, oh no, right, I'll do that. Well, if I do my nails, then I can't do my hair.
Yeah.
So I have to do my, and I know, you know, part of that is I'm saying something that maybe there's a logical order in which yes. to do it. But I'm just saying that the more decisions or the more overwhelmed or the more stressed you are, the more difficult it becomes, the less clear headspace you have
yes.
to make those decisions, and you can just get kind of stuck in a cycle. So, you know, having thought that I didn't have any decision paralysis, I actually do. And the other thing is that it's surprising that we're not more decision paralysis-y
yeah.
people, because it does come from overthinking, which we tend to do.
Which is very interesting.
The royal we,
yes. The we, the collective. It is interesting, but I think part of that, is, again, is because as adults, we've kind of come with coping strategies, and a lot of the coping strategies is kind of an overt, sort of quick decision-making in a lot of aspects of our life that just hasn't filtered into all aspects of our life.
Yeah, I agree.
And we're done.
I just thought you were going to say more about it. I wasn't quite ready to respond.
I have wine to swallow. I need to, like, process. I've just thought. But, yeah, and I think the other thing... No, I don't think the other thing is gone. I don't know.
Well, so, you know, I'm married to somebody who makes decisions more, less easily than I do. And so I think, you know, we constantly encounter people in our lives who make decisions in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the spirit of the underlying spirit of this podcast,
yeah.
in terms of there being nothing wrong with anyone, there's nothing wrong with you if you have decision paralysis. And if you are somebody like us that makes decisions very quickly,
mm-hmm.
I would say probably I'm on the rash, maybe, end of the spectrum. Danny is certainly more measured than me. And, you know, Marty is probably a bit further down
yeah.
in terms of he would like to weigh things up, and he would rather not make a decision than make a decision, you know.
But I also, I mean, I think it'd be very easy to turn around and say, oh, well, you know, Danny is the best place because he's somewhere in the middle. But
it would be so easy to say that, Danny.
Would. Sometimes we should just say that, I feel, and say nothing more. But my point was more so like, sometimes you need a bit of rashness and sometimes you need a bit of indecisiveness. Like, I think me being in the middle just means I'm a bit more ambient, but I think I could do with being more rash and just being a bit more confident or being a bit more cautious at times.
Mm.
And sometimes I'm neither. Sometimes I'm just kind of ambiently indifferent, which is not good either.
Yeah. I could do with being in less of a rush to just make decisions and have things happen all the time.
But it's not like your life is falling down around your ears either.
I think that I make decisions quickly, but I usually make them because I know what I want,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm making them based on a really strong sense of what I want, of knowing what I want for, you know, in the future, like plans, all stuff like that, having overthought all of those things already, really. Like, the reason why I can make decisions so quickly in restaurants is, well, there's a number of factors. First of all, I'm vegetarian, so I don't have as many options
half
of other
menu's
people.
Already gone.
I like, often I've looked at the menu before, as we talked about last episode. Mm-hmm. You look at the menu before. I still make the decision quickly when I look at the menu. I just know what I want.
Yeah.
I just know what I want in life. So I'm mostly not making the wrong decision. I'm mostly making the right decision. I'm sure there's been some left turns in there somewhere. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm not perfect, but maybe mine is the right way, Danny. Maybe that's what we need to conclude. No, course not. Nobody is right or wrong or anything else. And I am very grateful for Marty slowing me down often because, you know, that sounds like a negative way I phrased it.
Is your ball and chain holding you back?
But when he listens to this, he'll know what he
Marty
knows
he has
that role. Like,
he's like a tempering influence. He sort of is like, maybe we should just have a think about this.
Yes, and I'm like, what? Now?
Now! Burn it now!
So I don't know. There's no real conclusion to that, is there?
Well, there is. There's always the same conclusion.
There's nothing wrong with us. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with us.
Right there in the title, Emma.
I know, yeah.
Right there.
It's quite handy.
It really is. It's like we designed it that way.
I know.
We're very
smart. Yay, us. Okay, so, well, we go to normal on TikTok because I think that's the right order to do these.
Okay.
So, no, maybe it's not. Maybe I should do the next door because my next door is very quick.
Okay, go for it.
So it comes with a caveat.
Go for it.
You know, we love segues and caveats here.
It's our favourite two things.
Yeah. So basically, we are really trying not to be massive bitches, okay?
It is very difficult.
It's so difficult and we have been at pains to express that. We've got a disclaimer. We've got the whole thing. However, we do realise, we're not stupid, right? We do realise that in bringing up kind of strange, unusual, / potentially stupid things that people post on the internet.
For the purposes of humour.
For the purpose of humour, that is kind of judgmental. And so I think when you do it once, you're like, oh, we're trying not to be judgmental, and you can look past it. But when you've done it 10 times with different posts from a particular thing.
It's a pattern.
You start to go, there's no way for us to not come off as judgmental about this. So I wanted to share a positive next door post, right? So before we started recording, I said to Danny, do you know what? This next door post that I have, I think it's, you know, I'm going to do the same thing again where I'm going to share it and we're going to go, these people, which is essentially what we're doing. I'll look for a positive one. Problem was, is that I could not find a positive post. There's very benign ones like, here's the bin schedule for the holiday week.
Wardrobe for sale, best offer we'll take.
Yeah. There's lost cats, there's dead cats.
Does anyone know the name of a good gardener?
There's, looking for recommendations, there's recommending people, there's all the usual stuff.
License was found on street, have left into no corner shop.
I'm loving the performance that Danny is giving up the next door things. But the in between all that, it's basically just rage. It's people just complaining. It's a place for people to come and complain.
And you know what, Emma, that's fodder. And we should give the people the fodder.
I was kind of comparing this to a thing that is well known to be done in podcasts and circles where you read out Am I the Asshole posts. And the thing about Am I the Asshole, first of all, it's anonymous at the point of posting usually.
Yes.
And then, so that, you know, like, and we are reading these out anonymously as well, but they are coming on a Reddit called Am I the Asshole. So they're kind of, whatever they get, they're sort of asking for at that point. And often they are the asshole. Sometimes they're absolutely not, and that's fine. And so it's this. We're doing a similar thing here, is that people are posting things that are objectively questionable ways to interact with the world on the internet. And we're kind of pointing out the ways in which that's kind of questionable. And maybe they could be a bit more chill, often, is the conclusion that we're coming to.
Maybe not make such rash decisions, perhaps.
Maybe.
Who knows?
But so the thing is that in a very meta twist on Nextdoor, somebody has posted kind of complaining about the type of posts that are on Nextdoor, right?
Oh my God, it's self-aware.
Okay, so I'm going to share this, and I recognise that I'm doing the thing where we're sharing people who are being, you know, a bit problematic, and then we're going, ha, 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 how dumb are they? But anyway, we're going to try our best not to be super bitchy about it.
It will be hard, but we'll try.
Okay, so the post says, I thought this was supposed to be a friendly, protective, informative site. I am sick, sore and weary of the to the persons, in inverted commas, If you have an issue with someone, please sort it and don't pollute the site with cowardly venting spleen. I hope all is well with the group.
So I will say a couple of things about that immediately. First of all, that sounds like someone who was writing a letter and has like just signed it off. Like her marker at the end is, you know,
hope all is well.
Hope all is well. Please ask for the grandkids. Thank you. Good night. But also, what was the word in the middle? Spleen?
Cowardly venting spleen.
Spleen.
So they've just done a little, you know, accidental word, wrong word usage, which, you know, is normal.
Cowardly venting spew?
Well, I think people say, what is the thing that people say about spleen?
It's just not a word I've ever heard in that context before.
No, there's something about venting your spleen or something like that. Maybe she means bile. I don't know. Anyway,
it could be bile. Yeah. Spewing bile.
There is something about spleen, but I can't think what it is off the top of my head. And I can't be bothered Googling it, to be honest with you, listeners. I just can't be bothered.
It's not where we're at
today. You work
it
out yourselves. Sometimes we're wrong. We know, okay? And we don't care.
And that gives us grace.
So, what is interesting about this is that they are essentially doing what they're complaining about other people doing.
Yeah.
Except in a more general way.
Yes.
So to the person who keeps putting dog shit in my bin, or to the person who is letting their cat come into my garden and hasn't trained their cat to remain in one square of grass.
Yes.
To the person who keeps parking their car outside my house, whatever it may be. You know, she's doing it in a more general way then. I say she, could be a he.
Could be a he.
We don't know.
Well, let's not be gender biased. Who knows?
You know, so they're basically going, oh, you know, this is ridiculous that everybody's complaining about this, and they are also complaining. So the response is then, firstly, congratulate. Yes, I agree totally with you. Okay. Then somebody else doubling down on it. Very few people have any backbone nowadays to actually confront issues at the time or tell people exactly how they feel. This is clearly an aggressive person who's standing up to people a lot. A lot of people have to man up, in inverted commas, because, as you say, people are sick listening to whingers. Somebody then has commented on that saying, I love the drama. Smiley face.
There's always a pot stirrer. There's always that one person who's going in and being like, I'm going to try and make this a little bit worse.
Then also the passive, somebody else posting, also the passive aggressive, I'm sorry, but, in inverted commas, this must be the most use of inverted commas on Nextdoor I've seen. Fairly sure we're all grown-ups and can deal with conversations as such. No, great post. Then somebody else saying, is this post not essentially the same thing? Whoa, shots fired.
They went in.
Yeah. Somebody else saying, brilliant, clapping emojis. And then the person came back and said, my goodness, I didn't mean to cause a fuss. Thank you all for your support, albeit when I thought none would be required. I trust and hope all is well with all. And if not, you feel able to use this site to seek help. So I was like, what has happened there? Right?
Great. Right.
Yeah. So what has happened? And what I realized was somebody had gone off on this poster. So this poster had posted that saying, I'm sick of people saying to the person, and probably somebody had recently posted a post to the person, right? Mm-hmm. And so they went off on this person, nasty comments, a lot of things, and then other people having to weigh in to say, why are you attacking them? That's terrible, blah, blah, blah. But then all of those comments had been deleted, which is the other thing. Oh. If you're not there for the drama, you don't...
Oh.
You don't get to pick up on it all, but it was drama nonetheless.
See, this is the thing. And I think, to be fair, I think of all of those people, I'd be the, but I'm here for the drama person. Like, I will always be the spectator to this. I never want to be the involved person, but I'll always be the spectator.
Yeah.
Having said that, I have got better at being more forthright about how I feel about things and being just, and in a really kind of like ambient, unimportant way. Like a couple of friends of mine were trying to make plans for this weekend and I was like, I just can't be arsed. I just don't. And I, like Danny of a couple of years ago, would have been like, no, have to comply, must be involved. And don't get me wrong, I mean, it's lovely seeing people, but it's just the idea of, yes, you'll have a good time when you're seeing them, but, you know, you could also just enjoy yourself by, you know, resting, and a bit of self-care could go a long way as well.
Sometimes you have to rest. And I have said to you before, when you've been asked me, did I want to do something? I've been like, to be honest, I can't do it because I don't want to.
I just can't be bothered.
But what I have found is, I mean, you know, we are definitely the there for the drama people, except we wouldn't comment that. So we are doing a whole voyeuristic thing, right? So it's very good for us up on our high horses. Have you ever been, have you been drawn into commenting? Or, you know, remember I had said about the times I have done posts and have kind of regretted them because I've been like, oh, I'll ask about that dog that's howling all the time. And then I've been like, oh my God, back away, back away. You got involved. And there's been other times where I've put comments on things and have then kind of realised that it was a bad idea, basically.
So I'm going to share something now. Okay. Emma, I don't know if I've told you this already, so prepare yourself. Whenever I was at university, I launched a very, very short-lived YouTube career.
Oh. Were you under Daniel James?
I was not, and I will never tell you. Yes, there are a selection of videos that exist on YouTube where I was trying to be some sort of, I don't know, YouTube personality or whatever. I think actually it was around the time that I had the blonde hair as well, so it was a real...
I am going to find this.
Good luck to you. Okay. It is hidden in the interwebs. But the reason I bring it up is because it was at university while this was happening, and I distinctly remember we were going to one of these evenings. God, I can't believe I'm sharing this on the internet. I had done this skit, in inverted commas, with a teddy bear. With this teddy bear, I had sung a song, and then the song had turned into like a man walking down through the town, but the town was my desk with the camera sort of pointing towards the teddy bear, and it was walking along, and the song was sung. It was a whole bit. So I had done this, uploaded the video, gone about my life. Fast forward to the Friday of that week, I was in the student union, and these four guys from my university were wearing these white t-shirts that had a picture of the bear on it the song, with the like the lyrics to the song written around the bear, and I nearly died off.
And was it deliberately to attack you, or because they thought it was funny?
They thought it was funny, but it was more just the, oh God, it exists and people are aware and it's happening in the world. And obviously with YouTube, that's kind of the intention of these things. Yeah. But I just thought it would be like, you know, America somewhere. I thought it would be like far away and nowhere close by. But no, it found its way back round.
Yeah.
And then, and I distinctly remember that being a kind of conscious note in my head of like, nope, don't like that. Don't like that at all.
Yeah. No, I do think that there's an exposure thing, which I really enjoy a lot of things that involve making content that might then lead to exposure, right? So what the thing about that is that, so I like doing music, okay, and we're releasing music into the world, and then and we're employing PR to help us promote that, okay? And because I want people to hear the music, okay, we're doing these this podcast, and I have another podcast, and when we release the podcast, we promote it, and, you know, we hope it gets out there and people listen to it. We wouldn't be doing it if we didn't want people to listen to it. However, once that actually happens in reality, it is very exposing, and I'm not somebody who, well, when I was younger, and I was young and naive, I maybe wanted to be famous, but as a mature person, I actually don't, I do not want fame at all.
Yeah.
I want to be successful in the content that I produce, but I think fame is incredibly toxic, and that even just exposing yourself, you don't want us exposing ourselves, but exposing yourself on the internet exposes you to
everything the internet,
you know,
can do,
I mean,
yeah.
And I have thought about this. I have quite bad body dysmorphia, and I have thought about the fact that I'm going to put myself, you know, on the internet in terms of pictures and videos and stuff like that when we're doing the music. And it wouldn't take too many negative comments for me to, like, literally crawl up into a ball and want to die. So, and, you know, and I just, and I hate that about the internet, you know. So far, I've been lucky and there hasn't been negative stuff like that. But we are, I don't know. It's just so nerve-wracking when you put anything out there, you're kind of saying, accept me, world, and see what I'm doing. Try not to misunderstand me. And also don't call me ugly. If you could just avoid it, that would be great. Because, you know, I'm not commenting on anybody else's things, saying negative things. In fact, I would go out of my way to say positive things if I was going to post anything at all.
I just think it's like, it's so much effort to make a comment on someone's page that's particularly negative, and you're just like, why?
I don't know.
Oh, these sad, sad people.
So
sad,
I don't know. People. We kind of got off the track there, but
onto
I suppose
a new track,
what the
track.
Yeah, the conclusion of that is kind of, you know, we are not wanting to add to the negativity by commenting on these things that these people have posted. However, we're not attacking anybody who's like, you know, being totally benign or really, really kind or anything like that. We are drawing attention to people who are already behaving in quite a difficult way on the internet.
Or unusual way.
Or unusual.
Harking back to the afterbirth and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's just unusual or just singular. You
yes.
know, it just could be singular. And that's kind of interesting to us. It's just more difficult with Nextdoor. And I think that's because there's so much anger on there. Mm-hmm. There's so many people who are just pissed off with each other. So it can be harder for us to kind of come off as neutral in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll keep working on it or not. Maybe we'll come up with a different segment, which doesn't involve Nextdoor.
I think, well, we just keep workshopping it, see how we get to it. This is ours. We own everything that it touches.
Yeah,
so you know what? We can do with as much or as little as we want.
Okay.
And I think bear with us, listener, on this journey of discovery.
Yes.
We're not done, though. So for this last segment,
Normal on TikTok.
We're going to gander away over. Oh no, don't! I don't want her to talk yet. So we're talking about shush. Sorry, that was a lot. That was a lot all happening. Once I panicked there, when it was happening. Can I not make this just open so I can get her name without it playing? Oh yes. So her username is called Grandma the Great or Grandma Great. And she is a self-professed older lady who has gone back to university. And she, like, you know, chronicles her experiences of going back to university and the challenges that she faces. And there's a particularly lovely video where she's tasked with some sort of mathematical something or other. And it takes her like a couple of weeks to crack it. And then she does.
Uh-huh.
And she has this really kind of profound moment of like self-fulfillment where she set herself this huge challenge because I don't know if she actually has a degree otherwise or whether this was something she always just put off or whatever, but she's gone back to university to do it. She gets this difficult thing. She overcomes it. And then she's like, this is why I did this, to prove
Aww.
That at this age, you still can do these things that you wouldn't, people wouldn't say is normal for someone of her age to be doing anyway.
Mm.
And I just thought it was such a wonderful example of, you know, all too often as people, we are pigeonholed into boxes of what we should or should not be doing.
Mm.
You know, there's kind of an outline given to us to say you should be this or you should be that or you should be doing. And, you know, we were just in a gym there, which is Pride Month, which is a whole host of boxes of the shoulds and the should nots and the woulds and the would nots and everything else. More recently, locally and closer to home on the Causeway Coast there, the local council has approved the first ever Pride parade to walk in Causeway. So there's going to be a Pride parade on the 5th of August on West Strand in Portrush.
Awesome.
And as a result of that, there have been two bomb scares put outside councillors' homes wrapped in Pride flags
oh.
as a means of kind of trying to deter this idea of doing,
Jesus.
You know, people just wanting to live their lives and everything else. And I think it's just, you know, it's never too relevant a lesson about you are not confined by some sort of society view of what you should or should not be or should mm-hmm. or should not be doing. And she is a fantastic example.
Yeah.
So we will link her in the bio of this. I just think, God, all too often, even ourselves sometimes tell us we should or should not be doing something because of some ridiculous role that we've applied to ourselves. But actually, it's bullshit. Like, you can apply yourself to anything.
Yeah. No,
have you heard that thing about homosexual audacity?
No.
So it's basically this belief that gay people all inherently have that if you just try hard enough, you can do anything. Like any household task, any household task, anything to do around the home, anything that just seems really like obscure or obtuse, there's so much homosexual audacity that I will just work out how to do it and it will be done.
I haven't heard of that, but I love it. And what I was going to say is that one of my favourite gay comedians would disagree with you about that
homosexual audacity.
Yeah. So she is a brilliant comedian, and she has this whole bit about, you know, I might look butch, but don't be asking. I'm not handy. Don't be asking me to fix your car.
I love that.
You know, I take the car to the mechanics. He's starting to tell me about things. I'm like, no. I can't find her name. Oh my God. That's so annoying.
Future Emma might find it and put it in the bio.
Yeah, Future Emma. Come on, sort it out.
We're giving Future Emma quite a lot of jobs today.
Yeah. Well, Future Emma really likes gay female comedians. So I really realise that I love all of these comedians as I'm, oh my God, Kate McKinnon. Like, she is my celebrity sex list. Amazing. Right, okay. So anyway, I can't find who that is, but yeah.
Okay, so shall we summarise?
Yes, except I feel like...
Oh, sorry.
There's something else to be said about that. I don't think we're quite finished with that. So
it's like, and we're done here, moving on.
So that we both do that. when we're like, I have said all I need to say about my segment. I hope you don't have anything else to add.
There's no AOB to be had here. Moving on. Sorry, Emma. Yes.
No. So, University Granny.
Yes. God bless her.
She's adorable. And that is a real feel-good, positive thing on TikTok, of which there are others. Another one which I love, and I literally watch for like a dopamine hit. It might be an oxytocin hit, in fact, because it's another granny-related one, and it's Chris Punsalan, who cares for his 97-year-old grandmother, who she just turned 97. And he is a full-time carer of his grandmother, and they now have these little pins that you can buy to support different charities and their, you know, caring for her and all that kind of stuff. I just find it so comforting to see somebody care for somebody else with such love and kindness and compassion. It's just like, oh, I need to watch one of those. I need to turn the sound on.
I need tenderness.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that that's a good one that you picked, because we want to try and, you know, show the positive sides of these things as well. We're not all about seeking out the negativity and then making fun of it.
No.
I mean, we're not about that at all. In fact, we've been quite clear on that point. We are acting like somebody's accused us of something and they haven't. This is this thing that I do.
Oh my God, we're so scared we're getting cancelled, before we even started.
Yeah.
And I think as well that there's I don't know if you're following all this YouTube drama, but there's a big cancelling happening currently.
Right.
And it is very, very unnerving to watch how, I mean, I'm not going to name the person, but you Google it, you'll find it. How someone who was like a household name on YouTube and touring the world and very, very successful is being brick by brick kind of humbled to a place now where I think they will, you know, probably retreat from kind of public life in the way that they're currently in. You're just like, good grief.
Well, you know, this is what I'm saying. Like, it would never be worth it for me. It really would never be worth it, because I just really want a quiet, pleasant life where people don't attack me for any reason.
Don't
like,
we all?
Really. But unfortunately, I want to do lots of things that then put me into the public eye a
little bit. And interestingly, though, I think there are, however, people who want the opposite. There are people who actively seek out, you know, confrontation in that kind of keyboard sphere. Like, we both know someone who would actively choose to kind of find things online and, you know, comment on them and incite kind of a very aggressive conversation on them with the pretense that it's somehow an important conversation that needs to be had, and they are to be the one to have that conversation.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of probably about seeking out conflict in that case, but I do think people also feel like it's better to be talked about badly than not talked about at all. Whereas I totally disagree. Yeah. I disagree completely. I'd rather be not talked about than have any toxicity come my way. But just to do the self-promotion thing again slightly, okay?
Yes.
Although I'm not giving any details, so it's not really self-promotion. But we are going to release a single. And so
There's a separate way.
So me and my band, me and yes. Marty have a band called Review, and we're going to release a single, which is part of an album, which is coming out in sort of autumn time. And we've been planning this for a long time because mm-hmm. we recorded it last March. So we had some money to go and do it and recorded it. We've been mixing it, making it all perfect and everything. And so we've got to the point now where we're going to release it and we're going to do some PR. And I have started to get, not cold feet as such, but definitely gone, oh, whoa, I am nervous about this now. So even just the first thing, which so we're going to do a gig to promote the single. It doesn't coincide exactly with the launch of the single, but it sort of is to promote it around then. And that's a headline gig that we're organising ourselves. And I'm like, God, what if nobody comes? Mm. And then I'm like, God, what if people come?
What if there's a mountain of people arrive? Which could also happen, you know.
So it's just really difficult. You know, we had the cushion of the pandemic nearly, where I loved lockdown. I was like, I don't even have to. And then when you went to the shop, you had a mask on. Great. No problem. Regret not having masks sometimes now, especially if I've got, you know, a spot or something. So that exposure thing is difficult, I think. And I'm quite a confident person. So, you know, I imagine it's difficult for lots of people. No, thank you, Jack.
The choir of dogs
are reacting about nothing.
Nothing at all.
I am so sweaty.
Same here. God, this is like a Noel Card
Why
song.
Does it have to be 20 degrees?
Is it 20 degrees all during this?
Yeah.
Sweaty. Welcome to summer, where we all sweat. Sweaty and sweaty. It's in 20 degrees.
Yes, so I also like, right, do you want to do a summary? I just want to say, so hot, and then I was like, oh my God.
Emma just turned around and looked at me, and she was just like, do you want to do a summary? No context. Okay.
I wanted to say something, so I didn't know if you wanted me to say it before you did your summary bit, which I like.
Say your bit and then we'll do a summary.
So I just wanted to say it's really cool that we've got people listening in other countries.
Do we?
Hello, America. Hello, Germany.
Get away.
India. Yes. Hello, Canada.
Transatlantic.
Yes. Hello, other countries. We welcome you. We're sorry that we're sometimes hard to understand.
Yes. If you require anything, please engage with the Instagram and I will try and respond.
Yes. And you can't even understand that because I'm not speaking correctly.
We must enunciate our words, otherwise there is no clarity of communication.
I'm very sorry about my accent. What was going on there? I'm so tired.
It was a wee bit South African.
I know. Well, I do like the South African accent. It's really, really interesting.
Oh, no. We have started accents now.
Right. We've lost our marbles is what has happened. Okay, do the summary, Danny.
So, God almighty, what did we talk about today? Yes. So, today we discussed a couple of things, starting off with decision paralysis. I think now we may have actual paralysis, but starting off with decision paralysis and how that can impact your life. But the basic premise being is that we are all on a spectrum somewhere. And I think there is neither a good thing or a bad thing about being too rash or too cautious. I think both things are important and useful tools to navigate the world around you. It's just about knowing when to use which one and what the best way to do it. And sometimes it's also just a good thing to just make any decision, regardless of what the decision is, and move forward, because motion is always the best way to find change.
Yeah, I mean, change is always going to happen. So it'll either change while you're sitting on the pot not shitting, or it'll change because of your own action.
True.
Strongly
words.
On the pot. The pot item.
It's all about shit in all of the pot. And then we discussed just the real difficulty navigating next door to find any kind of positivity. It does exist, but just it's now reached this meta phase where this next door has become self-aware and is now aware of its own negativity, and people are trying to comment on that. And I think even within that, we have found like a microcosm of kind of society there, where you've got people who are here for the negativity, people who aren't here for the negativity, and people who are here just to observe and want to just see the house burn down around everybody else. And then to close off, we had a real kind of multi-stopter of positivity on TikTok, and then positivity in and of ourselves, and then the price of fame and how that impacts our everyday life, and then working our way around
something
to,
we actually don't have to worry about. So,
and then the cost of anonymity and how we maintain that, and worked our way back around to realizing that Emma, there is absolutely, regardless how famous or not famous you are, nothing wrong with you.
And there is nothing wrong with you, Danny.
And we just did this like, good morning, hand sign.
I was like, we're done.
Till the next number. Good night and goodbye.
Goodbye.